Welcome to Product Coffee, a podcast where product professionals from Ibotta share stories, advice, and thoughts on all things product over a cup of coffee. Grab a cup of Joe and join us to level up your product career 30 minutes at a time. I'm one of your co-hosts, Patrick Kuchikowski.
Kevin Gentry.
David Odukoya.
And Jamie Douglas.
Our topic today is Through the Looking Glass. When to leave a company and the lessons you gleaned along the way. So unfortunately for us, Jamie has decided to move on from Ibotta and is going to another tech company in the Denver area. So we wanted to use it as an opportunity to reflect a little bit on her time and then use it as a jump pad to discuss when do you move on, what kind of opportunities are out there, and just any general thoughts. So with that, Jamie, I'm not sure if you want to give the full rundown of your 4 years now at Ibotta, but I know you didn't jump right into product, so it would be great to hear why you moved to Ibotta first and then how you made the transition.
For sure. Welcome to the six-hour episode of Product Coffee. For a little background on me, in a prior episode, I did kind of give a brief summary of how I got into product, but just to give a refresher on that. So I started out in the television industry, and I was in production there, so mostly within documentary. I actually went to film school for that, and then spent a lot of time in New York and L.A.
Did you work for Oprah?
Yeah. I mean, never got to meet her face-to-face, okay. But yeah, my company contracted with her. So that was a huge project and very exciting, and I got to the end of that particular project and had learned enough to know that it was probably not the right fit for me. And
that industry is brutal.
It's tough, for sure. Yeah. I think something that I found difficult about it was the lack of kind of infrastructure, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. You're all freelancers, and you're all responsible for your own healthcare, and you're all responsible mm-hmm. for your next job, and that can be really
freelancing exhausting. In general versus your regular 9-to-5, I guess. Yeah.
I think that's probably the biggest reason why I decided to find something more consistent.
Yeah, I'm always curious about the other side of the coin of people wanting to go to freelancing and maybe don't like the 9-to-5 as much and why, but anyway.
It's a personality type for sure. There's some people who just like get so energized off being freelance.
That's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then after I did that, I moved back to Denver, which is where I grew up, found Ibotta through a mutual connection, and I started in the client success side. So I used to work directly with clients, trying to execute on their programs, making sure that whatever we set up for them was actually delivering on their, metrics and indicators that they were looking for. And over time, learned more and more about product, and how, that role functions in an organization. And found it pretty analogous to what I used to be doing in television, except this time it was in the technology space. And so what came with that was a lot of learning curves, a lot of learning about more technical skill sets and, what is actually involved in, and building out software, which is not obviously what I was doing before, but again, not that dissimilar. So I got into product. It basically took me about a year. I took some free courses at General Assembly. I kind of to dip my toe in it to really understand what it was and to see if it actually was something that appealed to me. And then over the course of doing that, I told my manager, who at the time was a great manager. She didn't, get scared and say like, oh no, we have to keep you on client success. She actually really facilitated my move into product. She contacted our head of product here and said, I have, a manager who's interested and would like to learn more. And they set me up with the ability to shadow some of those meetings. I got to work with the product manager directly here. He kind of gave me some like homework, so to speak. So give me books, give me things to look at, frameworks to investigate and learn more about. And then, eventually after about that year's time, a position opened up at Ibotta and I applied for it and was able to get it. So yeah, I've been doing it ever since.
Well, I know you're much more on the technical side of the house here.
Yeah.
I believe your role that you're moving to is more front end or, you know, kind of B2C focused.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that's a reason why you decided to make that leap from technical to kind of front end?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that I've really enjoyed everything that I've learned here, and I love my team here. That's one of the hardest things to say goodbye to, is the people, and in particular my squad. They're a bunch of, you know, kids, but but it's really fun. That was part of the appeal, is to find something that was a little bit more about working directly with customers, as opposed to today I work mostly with internal folks. And I'm not opposed to that, but I think what I end up doing a lot of times is focusing on the technical back end and not so much the front end, UI. So that's something that I was looking forward to in the new spot.
It is nice to like actually design something and then be able to use it yourself and see it.
Right. Yeah,
it's a little more tangible.
For sure.
So I was always kind of interested into moving to like the IoT space, mm-hmm. Internet of Things, doing a little hardware. I think, David, you came from hardware, is that right?
Yeah, I came directly. In fact, I don't even call it hardware. It was more mechanical engineering.
That's a whole different beast.
Because we made stainless steel products.
Right.
But before then, I actually did some IoT work. So that's interesting.
Yeah, because you can have the nice blend of, you know, the software and the hardware. But,
yeah.
Is that I always wanted to like actually use my product that I'm using. I think that's what's nice about working at a company like Ibotta, that you can actually go and use your own product.
Yeah, I agree.
Similarly to, I'm sure where you're going. Did we mention where she's going at this point?
We haven't.
Can we?
I don't know.
Yeah, why not? Jamie's going to Guild, which is pretty close to us in terms of the vicinity of workplaces and just down the block, right?
Yeah, really close, actually. Which will be nice, so I can catch up with you guys.
Yeah, so right. We'll have you on.
guest spot. Yeah.
I mean, it's the other tech unicorn in Denver, right?
Yeah,
now,
that's right.
So, Jimmy, can you talk a bit about that first transition you did from client success to product? You know, that's, so you were out there, you know, talking to clients, and then suddenly you are in here. Having to work with a squad. Any lessons learned? Any observations? And I had kind of the same move myself at some point. I can talk about that, but just want to hear your perspective.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely was, you know, clients are all very interested in, like, they're selling to you as much as you're selling to them. So it's a constant negotiation. And I feel like, you know, those conversations were always sort of wrapped in a business speak that was really important. And you're always kind of operating within certain conventions and, you know, almost etiquette with clients. You also want to make sure that you're always trying to cater to their needs and make things happen that they are expecting to happen. And when things go poorly, those are tough conversations.
Right.
That you have to manage. Working with engineers, I feel like what I've learned is that you have to be very direct and very specific about what you are trying to learn from them. Because otherwise they will tell you a whole bunch of things that are possible, but not necessarily relevant to your exact moment that you're asking in. And the other thing is like giving them support and celebrating their work and really making sure that they feel valuable. Like, there is a certain amount of people management involved with engineers and working with engineers. And whereas I'm not their direct manager, I do need to be responsible for, like, you know, caring about them and making sure that the work is really supported and that they're protected from lots of other distractions that come in.
Right.
So, yeah. What about you?
Which question now?
I have a question for you.
All right.
Moving from the, that mechanical to more digital, like what kind of triggered the want or the jump to the digital and then?
Yeah, that's the question I was dreading.
Dreading?
Well, not exactly dreading.
Yeah.
Before I moved to that company, I actually worked for a GPS manufacturer that had a lot of software and technology. So I was kind of
engineering. This is the IoT thing that you're mentioning? Got it.
Yeah, so that was that. Then I moved to the IDEX, that's the name of the company. Mm-hmm. So they have a factory out here close to Stapleton, and we made stainless steel products that go into cars and other industrial uses. Mm-hmm. And while it was exciting when I joined, I learned a lot about like supply chain, the automotive mm-hmm. industry, even just operations management and all of that. But the actual product management work, so I'm sitting in a room with mechanical engineers, and we're talking things like strength of materials, mm-hmm. tensile strength, and corrosion resistance. And the biggest frustration for me was the lead times, because in that industry, if the engineer designs something in AutoCAD, you have to send it out for prototyping, and that takes, it could take a week or longer. Most times it takes a lot longer. And then if they receive the actual sample and something needs to be adjusted by 1 millimeter, you got to send it back.
Takes another week.
Redesign takes another week. And all that just used to frustrate me. And I mean, even though I studied electrical engineering, but I've been in IT for, I moved pretty early. I've been in there for a long time. So I kind of wanted to get back. I missed the whole IT tech space.
Speed of it.
Yeah. Speed was probably the big thing.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's all in-house and you get to kind of see it being built.
Exactly. And here, I mean, you have a stand up, you assign tickets. In 2 days, it's ready. You can actually see what you're building. Like I worked for products that the development cycle took 2 years.
Mm. Wow.
Somebody took over. Yeah.
Does that feel like that was kind of risky? You're doing a 2 year investment, or is that just normal and expected with?
Yeah, I had a lot of different reasons. Most of it is normal and expected. And just the way the industry is, things don't move as fast. And because we worked with automotive, things were highly regulated. So we had to follow a specific set of guidelines all the time. Mm-hmm. So all that kept things moving very slowly. And then the other thing is talent is really hard to find and recruit in terms of engineering talent.
Mm-hmm.
So if you lose engineers, it would take you 6 months to replace that engineer.
Wow.
And yeah.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. That happened to me. We had to outsource some parts to an engineering company.
Yeah.
That's also another long process.
Well, that kind of hits on one of the kind of key topics of today, which is how do you know when to move on? And so it sounds like, you know, this was kind of like self-reflection more than anything.
Right.
I know in my own life, you know, the previous company before I bought ended up moving on because a friend came here and they had a data engineering product manager opening. But that company was also, it was another startup that was also winding down. You could kind of see the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
I would be curious to see what other people's take is on, like, is it an opportunity to move into a new space? You know, like Jamie's has this opportunity, is an opportunity to move outside of hardware to software again, you name it. Like,
yeah, for me, my first product job, similarly to Jamie, I was there for a while and kind of started in a CSM type role and then kind of moved my way into product over the years. And I was there for about 4.5 years, and you know, I learned to be a product manager there, and I got to build a lot of cool things. And then for me, it was just like I wanted to learn and kind of use the skills I've learned at a different company, see if I could replicate that. Maybe I wasn't just this company person, I was more of a holistic product manager that I can kind of build up all my skills and replicate that success somewhere else. So it was that, it was kind of like, I don't feel that you're ever done being a product manager. You always like, I don't think that's very clear. Like even I'm sure Jamie, and you maybe could speak to this, but even when I wanted to leave, I wasn't done with what I wanted to accomplish there. There were still a lot of projects and objectives that I wanted to hit. So it made that transition kind of difficult. But there was more kind of like benefits on the other side of the coin for me that pushed me to get that position and move on. But
yeah, I mean, that's definitely true. Like if you have a product and you have a problem space as we're organized here, theoretically, the opportunities are endless. So you could spend your entire career mm-hmm. within a certain space and just continue to develop it over and over again. So how do you decide when you're done?
Yeah.
You kind of have to make that sort of imaginary line and then meet it. Mm. For me, I'd always wanted to get the UI into a good space. And I feel like we are in a good spot with it. I feel like we've got this internal guild that is really doing a good job of coming together and making sure to kind of marshal all of these UIs into one coherent experience. And I'm really glad for that.
Yeah.
For a long time, we were all just spinning out separately and doing our own things. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff that I was looking for in order to feel comfortable saying, okay, I think this is good, and I think everybody understands how to move forward without me.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's the case. If I leave and you guys are like, no, that was wrong, you can tell me later.
Yeah. We'll just burn it all down and start again.
Yeah, exactly.
I think one of the cool things, maybe Jamie, this is something you can look forward to. When I left my first company being a product manager, I had all these irons in the fire that were not realized at the time. And I was, you know, like a little just not happy about moving on with that. I wanted to see those through, but it was okay. I moved on and then still found out like maybe a year or two later that those ideas were actually implemented.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool to see the fruition of that.
I
iron
know.
In the fire. So I'm sure that's the same thing will happen here, where you have teed up a lot of things and then kind of see something come to light.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
You'll have to tell me if you get here, Kevin.
Yeah, we'll do.
Because you would be mostly involved in probably making sure to steer that. So
that
would be exciting.
And so now that you're leaving, kind of two questions, and this is one for the group as well, because I'm sure we could all speak to it endlessly, is what are the things that you feel are unfulfilled, that like lessons that you wish you could go back, relive, or do? But on the flip side, what are the key takeaways from this job that you're like, hey, this is worth sharing out to the broader whole?
Yeah, I think there are a couple things that, you know, without going into too much detail, one being I wish we had changed our strategy sooner to focus on just the UI, because I had been so long stuck in the mindset that we had to build the whole thing end-to-end brand new. And while that's still something that needs to happen, I think we could have delivered value sooner if we'd just done the UI. Mm-hmm. And that just didn't feel like an option to me at the time, but I think that's partly because of my kind of greenness when it came to product, being in product. And I think the other lesson that I would tell people is like, you are responsible for your own career and your own decisions. And so if you feel like you need something, or if you feel like you want to learn something, at the end of the day, you know, that is totally within your bounds to request those things and to really craft that career. So I think sometimes I sort of left that up to, well, I don't know that there was a ton of intentionality about it, because I was a little bit just drinking out of the fire hose. But now that I have a little bit of distance, I think that, and not something that I'd replay necessarily, but something that I want to keep in mind as I go, knowing that there's always a certain amount of chaos, that it feels hard to be forward-looking with your career when it comes to product management, but at least recognizing the moments in which I am able to make a choice about how it affects my career and doing that with, you know, consciously.
Yeah, and I think that actually plays well to the whole topic we had last week, which was mentors, because that's where you can get that outside perspective, and especially, you know, when when you're new to product, you just don't know that. So, key takeaways for the group that are like, I don't know, fun things that you're like, hey, this was something I did that, you know, surprised me, or something that like the engineers just blew out of the water that, you know, people could try and replicate.
Yeah, or something you'll miss.
Oh, well, I mean, I will miss the people, absolutely. Yeah.
Of course it's podcast. I mean,
the first thing is the podcast. Not the people. The podcast is the
number
thing.
One.
Yeah.
Cool. Product coffee.
Take that back. It's just the coffee during the podcast.
The true intent behind it.
I guess that's a tough question. I mean, I've always felt like my team worked really well together, and perhaps I didn't value that enough. So I think that any time a team is really gelling, that deserves attention and worth recognizing. So in terms of like how it's going to work going forward, that you guys are going to probably interact with what I'm leaving behind. I think that, like, I trust that it's in good hands with our engineering manager and our engineers on that team. So I think that they have a really good understanding of the space, of where it needs to go. And so I guess I'm looking forward to what they deliver. Yeah.
That's cool. What are you most excited for in your new job?
I'm excited to tackle a different kind of lens mm-hmm. of product management and to learn from new people. You know, I think that's something that is always valuable when moving to a new space. I've learned so much from all of you guys, and I look forward to just adding to that. So, yeah.
Cool. Are you taking some time off before you start?
A little time in between, yeah. Yeah.
I would recommend that for anyone transitioning to a new job. Take some time off.
I also think it's a lie when people say they couldn't.
Exactly. That is totally a lie.
Yeah.
They didn't ask.
Yeah.
Or they felt guilty or something.
Right. Any company that wants you will give you at least a week of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they don't want to wait, you know, have to spend another 6 months looking for the right person.
Right.
So. Feels
and
good.
And they'd rather
to
have you fresh anyways.
Exactly.
I wouldn't want someone just
start
still
fresh.
Thinking about their old product.
Yeah.
Any, like, things that you're doing to prepare for the new job?
Everybody's told me not to think about work at all.
Oh, okay.
Which is funny. I mean, their points are good points in that, like, you never, it's a great time in anybody's career or anybody's life, because you're in between things, but you know what the next thing is. So, like, you get that kind of space to be at rest and just know that you're taken care of, more or less. That said, knowing it's me, I'm probably going to spend a lot of time thinking about the things that I should be doing. And so I have many people, including you, Kevin, have given me recommendations for books to read and things to really check out. So
the recommendation I gave, by the way, for everyone else, First 90 Days, really good book. I've read that twice for both my transitions. I found that super useful.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'll probably dig into something like that. Do you remember, what's one thing you remember from that book that you...
Establishing the relationships up front, I think, was a good one. Like, knowing who your key stakeholders are and establishing those relationships, that trust, is so important. If you do that up front, and you know, you're set up for success.
Yeah.
And then look for quick wins was also there. And don't try to change everything at once.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Approach... slow, gradual approach is the best way.
Yeah, good advice.
Yeah, I failed at that one pretty hard.
I know, I'm like a little bit concerned about, I'll be like, all right, I've got this great new idea.
Yeah,
we're going to
do
the
whole
thing.
Oh, we did this at a bottom, we did all these things. Yeah, we could totally do that here.
It's like, except it took us 2 years.
Yep, exactly.
So,
there's always that one person who's not as excited as you are about that new idea. You gotta win them over.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. There's always the jaded customer who's been like, yeah, I've seen people come in and try to make change. Yeah,
exactly.
And they don't. Yeah.
All right, so last thing for our listeners, Jamie. Mm-hmm. Do you have any last words for them?
Go level up.
Nice.